on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Chicken. This is your NXT Spring Break-In 2024 Night 1 Preview. Try saying that three times fast. Before we get into this, I want to send a quick shout out. If you didn't catch the TNA Rebellion show last night, check it out. It was really good. Santana, Matt Hardy, and Sami Callihan all made their returns. A couple titles changed hands. Nick Nemeth was not successful against Moose, so that's kind of a bummer. Laredo Kid got the Digital Media Championship, so that's kind of fun, I suppose. And Buddy from Rancid was out there with Spitfire, so that was a lot of fun as well. Newsworthy show. Like I say, Santana, I just saw at Destiny. Yes, check it out for Spice Phoenix Bucket List. It's fine. Sami Callihan came back. I don't know where he's been, maybe dealing with injuries, I don't know. And Matt Hardy came to TNA, but apparently he hasn't signed, so the rumors of him being involved in the Wyatt thing in WWE could still be true, especially with the rumors of WWE potentially wanting to work with other companies. So that's all fine and well, and wonderful and fantastic. This week's episode of WWE Last Week came out a couple days early because I knew I was going to be coming up here to talk to you guys about some other stuff. And we got another episode of The State of Wrestling with our good friend Jake DeMarco. Shout out to him, and talking about how AEW is kind of trying to cope with the success of WWE post-WrestleMania and not doing a very good job. Just saying. So if you watch that sort of, listen to that, then I would say sort of listener beware unless you're actually open to other people's opinions. But yeah, check out WWE Last Week as we properly document the success of WWE in the current moment. And yeah, TNA's bringing themselves back up again, so check that out as well. If you like what you see, if you like what you hear, give me a share, give me a like, give me a subscribe, give me a recommend, tell your friends, all that fun stuff. I'm not too proud to say, please share my stuff around. But let's talk about NXT. Let's talk about Spring Break-In. It's not a pay-per-view, it's an elevated episode of NXT, but they've done it over two nights, so it'll be this coming Tuesday and the Tuesday afterwards, which are coming on either side of the draft, and I don't think that that's accidental. There's stuff happening on night one that's sort of wrapping a couple things up before the draft, and there's stuff happening on night two that is very much post-draft stuff. So what I'm going to do, we're going to see what happens on night one, and then I'm going to come back to you guys next weekend and give you a preview for night two. What I will say is on night two, we're getting Natalya versus Lola Vice in an NXT Underground match. I'm more interested in the fact that they're bringing the match back than I am in either member or either of the competitors in the match, which is kind of unfortunate. But on week one, we're going to get the contract signing. I'm sure there will be a table flipped and Lola Vice will do something dastardly to Natalya. Now, I'm not against Natalya going down and helping the newer ladies of NXT because they're not doing anything with her on the main roster, but they still have to give me a reason to care. Maybe they'll do that in the contract signing. Who knows? On night one, though, we've only got four matches, so this won't take that long. Sol Ruka versus Blair Davenport. I really don't know what they're doing with Blair Davenport other than they slated her to be the one that was attacking all the NXT women in the parking lot because they could no longer put it on Indy Hartwell because Indy Hartwell got called up to the main roster. So she's just devious, nasty, violent person that does more effective violent stuff when we don't see her than when we do. Fantastic wrestler, don't get me wrong, but I don't know what her thing is. Sol Ruka just came back from injury. She's one of those ones that just sells you on what she does in the ring. She's got a couple of interesting high-flying maneuvers, a couple interesting gymnastic maneuvers. The Soul Snatcher is an amazing finisher, and she's got a cool vibe about her as well. People, after last week's episode of NXT, were sort of comparing her to Rob Van Dam, and initially I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And then I watched another match of hers under that lens, and I said, yeah. Yeah, sort of happy-go-lucky, laid-back, very chill, but also don't fuck with me and I'll take your head off. The RVD comparison is kind of apt. I mean, she's coming back from an injury. She blames Blair Davenport. They're going to have a no DQ match, or as it's listed on this card here, a beach brawl. Because spring break, because Sol Ruka's the surfer chick. Cool, man. Spring breaking, dude. So it's a no DQ match dressed up as a beach brawl, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Sol Ruka is going to get the win. Like I say, the Soul Snatcher is an absolutely amazing. The Soul Snatcher is the next logical progression from the RKO in terms of memeable, viral, you know, clickbaity type stuff. You're going to see people posting on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on people. I don't know if anybody's using Snapchat or whatever, but you're going to see people doing like, can you believe she did the Soul Snatcher from here? And it's going to be the new RKO out of nowhere. It's going to be like the Soul Snatcher out of nowhere. And it's going to be fun. I'm predicting it's going to be the opener, to be quite honest with you, because a lot of people like Sol Ruka, and she'll get that initial pop. Because it's only an elevated episode of weekly television and not a proper pay-per-view, it is just happening in the Performance Center. Some of the stuff that we're going to talk about over this week and next week, you could make a proper pay-per-view out of this card that they stretched over 2 weeks, but we're just a couple of weeks off of WrestleMania / Stand and Deliver, oi, oi, oi. So that's not so bad. We got the D'Angelo family taking on the No Quarter Catch crew. And there's a lot of things to unpack here. First of all, Ronda Rousey can go fuck herself. And she's Me Too'd the fuck out of Drew Gulak, which is crazy. It's also crazy that they took him off TV by implying that the D'Angelo family killed him. Like, we're doing a Charlie Sheen, we're doing a Roseanne, we're doing a Drew Gulak. That's what happened there. It's wild. And the promo that they had last week on NXT, I feel bad for everybody involved, because everybody involved that was trying to get through this promo looked like they knew how awkward it was. Nothing against any of the guys in the match. Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, Miles Bourne, all relative. I mean, we knew Damon Kemp when Damon Kemp was hanging out with the Creed brothers and Diamond Mine and all that kind of thing. Charlie Dempsey, obviously William Regal's kid, is quite good. He went off on a mini excursion and did some things for All Japan. And Miles Bourne is the new kid in the group, taking on Tony D, Stax, and reinforcing the additions of Luca Crucifino and The Riz. I mean, Tony D has taken the sort of mafioso gimmick in a more serious direction. There were hints made that he's going to continue pursuing the NXT Championship while Stax and Crucifino then go for the tag team titles. I always said, when Tony D and Stax became the tag champs, if Two Dimes had stayed in NXT, they would have gone for the titles, and Tony would have gone for the main title a lot sooner, or at least the North American Championship. But we're getting to that place now with Luca Crucifino. The Consigliere and the Underboss are going to get those tag titles eventually. Right now it's Axiom and Frazier, and we'll talk about them next week, and they're going to get killed, probably. But with the Riz out there, I don't know whether the No Quarter Catch crew, all three of them now, they were really fast to get them off of those graphics and off of that Titantron and just write a story that he got killed. Like, I can't. Yeah, you fell victim to cancel culture. You fell victim to Me Too. Facts no longer matter. You're fired. And also, to make sure that we can't hire you back again, we also wrote that you're dead. 2024 can get fucked. The match should be fine. Tony D and his crew are more character-based, and the No Quarter Catch crew, by definition, are this really cool group of technical wrestlers that are going to put on a fantastic technical match. Eventually, I see that one of them, because they're defending the Heritage Cup under catch rules, which means any one of them can defend it. Tony D is going to go for the Heritage Cup eventually, and that's just going to look strange. Tony D going under the Heritage Cup rules and having the family in his corner and the rest of No Quarter Catch crew in, I'm assuming, Charlie Dempsey's corner. Charlie Dempsey seems like he's the new de facto leader of, what is it, NQCC are the initials, I guess. I don't want to say the baby faces or the heels, because I think both teams are kind of heel, but the D'Angelo family wins this. Tony D just coming off of a world title attempt and taking the family in this more serious direction has no weight if they immediately go lose as a family. So they're going to win, and No Quarter Catch crew lost their leader because Ronda Rousey's on her fucking period. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have said that, but whatever. Especially because the next match we're going to talk about is the NXT Women's Championship match. Roxanne Perez versus Lyra Valkyria versus Tatum Paxley. Roxanne Perez is the new champion. Lyra Valkyria's got her contractually obligated rematch. Tatum Paxley turned on Lyra. She also has an affinity for the belt. She cut that weird promo about how her fixation was never on Lyra. It was on the belt that she was carrying. And Roxanne Perez shot off her mouth and said, maybe I'll defend my title against one of them. And Ava came in and said, well, if you're going to be that cocky, I'll make you defend it against both of them. So Roxanne Perez doesn't want to give Lyra a rematch. Roxanne Perez probably thinks Tatum Paxley's not really worthy. Lyra Valkyria wants her title back and has just been turned on by her friend, so that makes sense. Tatum Paxley turned on her friend for losing... She turned on her friend for losing the belt and now wants to beat up Roxanne Perez because she has the belt that she wants. Everybody's got decent reasoning here. Everybody's sort of on a level playing field. Tatum Paxley will have to do something in this match to shake off the fact that she's sort of been a side character in this feud. She's been the Miz to John Cena and The Rock, shall we say. With the draft coming up, starting this Friday, I gotta believe... if sort of put Tatum Paxley aside for a second, out of Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez, whoever loses is going to the main roster. It's predictable to say that Roxanne Perez is going to the main roster because she's been ready forever, but that means she gets a 2-week title run. What the hell does that mean? Or they could surprise us. They could leave Roxanne Perez down in NXT to sort of oversee the division, be a gatekeeper of the division, so to speak, and take a longer shot on Lyra Valkyria. I wouldn't mind that either. If Tatum Paxley wins the title as a surprise and both of them end up on the main roster, then the main roster is laughing. If you get Tatum Paxley eventually chased by Julia, who's apparently going to debut in Toronto when I'm there, which is going to be awesome, who's apparently all of a sudden not that great because she didn't decide to join with AEW, that could be a lot of fun. Also, Julia's probably going to be the first women's North American champion. So there's also that. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. Ilya Dragunov taking on Trick Williams, with the caveat that if Williams loses, he must leave NXT. Now, Williams is on a hot streak. Williams is loved by the NXT audience in the Performance Center and in other places, and he's never been the champion. He's never actually been cemented in that main event spot. Ilya Dragunov has. Ilya Dragunov is also loved by everybody, but people are also fantasy booking him to go against Gunther like he went up against Walter during the pandemic in NXT UK in front of nobody and still had a banger of a match. So once again, it comes down to the fact that this is happening on Tuesday and the draft is happening on Friday. Again, they could surprise us and have Ilya Dragunov stay on as a gatekeeper, much like I said about Roxanne Perez, and take somebody as over as Trick Williams and put him on the main roster right away. Because the rumor is that Carmelo Hayes is already sort of handpicked for the main roster, and they do want to continue that feud on the main roster, which is fine. I really do think if you want to establish him a little bit, though, throw up Ilya Dragunov now, give Trick Williams the title. Trick Williams gets a little bit of a mini run, maybe just until Heatwave, who knows. And Carmelo Hayes, meanwhile, can go to the main roster, think he's gotten rid of Trick Williams, got rid of the last, you know, bad thing of his past or whatever, and Trick Williams can come up in a couple months at the end of July and say, hey, fucker, you forgot about me. I think either one of those is fine. I'm predicting Trick Williams to win, Ilya Dragunov to go to the main roster. Somebody's going to win the women's title, and the other one out of the three of them is going to go to the main roster. Tony D'Angelo and his family taking on the No Quarter Catch Crew. It could go either way. No Quarter Catch Crew needs to do something to start becoming relevant. I'm sorry to say it that way. D'Angelo family should win because they're fun, and Sol Ruka is awesome and is going to continue being this weird amalgam, like I say, of RVD and Randy Orton, and she's going to hit the Soul Snatcher on Blair Davenport, and it's going to be awesome. I don't know what else to say. Triple threat match for the ladies always provides opportunity for cheating, for run-ins, for weapon use, for really, really intricate spots. I want to do something, I want somebody to do some kind of big dive off the Regal's nest at some point, because the PC does have that, and it's the closest thing they have to a balcony, and a balcony dive is always really, really awesome. So, yeah, four matches, not that much to talk about. Probably the shortest pod I've done in a while. We will address this night one after it happens, and next weekend we will address night two and where NXT is going forward. I've rushed through this because I've just squeezed this in before Dynasty. You won't get Dynasty content from me because it's Dynasty. be real for a second. Anyways, I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but from right now, I am tagging you.